You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like that dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, we are skipping forward. I have technically skipped dipper number two, Boone. It's just, what do you do, you know?
What do you do when you have so much information?
When you got that much content. So we did military-minded. That was number one of the triple dipper. Number two was scheduled to be go woke, go broke, which may still happen, but we're going to skip forward because coming up right now on the line is my friend Justin Bogey. Justin is a fiscal analyst, the director of fiscal policy for the Alabama Policy Institute. He's had plenty of time working in the legislative fiscal office in Montgomery, working up on the Capitol Hill in D.C., working for the Heritage Foundation, and now with the Alabama Policy Institute, checking to see where all the numbers are. So we're going to go into number three of the Scripple Dipper. I'm calling it Spendorama. And Justin Bogey, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing well. It's good to be with you.
You too, man. Thanks for your time. And hey, listen, you and I are going to talk about a couple of things we pre-planned to discuss. One is the debt limit bill or debt limit agreement in D.C. and what that does and how it works. And then also here in Alabama, the Birmingham Southern bailout loan deal, which I think is getting hardly any press. But then we just had some breaking news. And you told me off the line, you've been tracking the legislation in Montgomery today with some major tax cuts. You want to fill us in?
Yeah, so it's been a busy day in Montgomery, busy couple of days, a lot going on. But, you know, the big headline is that the 2% grocery tax repeal has been passed by the House and Senate. It's on its way to the governor's office, changed a little bit from the version that came out of the House on the Senate floor today. But that has been approved, and, you know, hopefully that will bring some real relief to Alabamians. The other big bill passing today is the overtime tax bill by Representative Anthony Daniels. That passed the Senate this morning, and the House concurred in the amendment late this afternoon. So that is also on the way to the governor. It's been pared back a bit, not going to have maybe the impact that it would have had coming out of the House. But, you know, another bit of small relief for Alabamians. So I think, you know, overall it's a good thing, and it's positive that passed.
So let me ask you this. I was talking to a Politico last night in Montgomery who was letting me know that on the – let's take the overtime tax cut first. So basically, if you work overtime, you would pay normally. You would pay, income tax, payroll taxes, just like you would any other pay, to incentivize people to work more. Maybe stay on the job a little longer to get something done or whatever. Increase productivity. They're looking at limiting the amount of taxation on overtime pay, and the bill. If I'm not mistaken, the bill got sort of scaled back. Like they capped the amount you could claim. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So coming out of the House, basically any amount of overtime hours you worked in a year, it would have not been included in your calculation of gross income. So basically you wouldn't have paid the 5% state highest income tax bracket on it. And so what they did yesterday in the Finance and Taxation Committee was they put a cap on that. You can make up to $2,000 in overtime wages without it being taxed. Anything above $2,000 would be taxed at the full rate. So basically, it went from about a $45 million a year impact to about a $21.6 million a year impact. So it's been scaled back some. You know, I still think this is, you know, basically this was aimed at dealing with the state's labor shortage and the state's labor participation problem. We're one of the lowest ranked states in labor participation in the country, so it's a major issue. So I think this could still have some impact on that. Obviously, if you can work unlimited overtime hours, you know, that's more without taxes, that's more of an incentive than only being able to make $2,000 untaxed. But I still think it's a step in the right direction. And you really have to applaud Anthony Daniels for spearheading this and leading this effort. And as far as I know, Alabama is the only state that's pursued something like this. So it really was kind of an innovative policy solution. The sort of bad news of it is this will phase out after 2026, or it's only going to be available for the next 3 years or so. But
really?
Chairman
okay.
Orr, yeah, it's got to phase out. But Chairman Orr in committee yesterday did say, you know, he thinks it's an excellent piece of legislation. this was before he scaled it back. But he'd like to see it come back in 3 years and potentially look at making this permanent. So, again, I think it's a step in the right direction, and hopefully in the next few years we can get to that permanent repeal of the, or permanent exemption for this.
I mean, God forbid we should just go ahead and say, let's give them a tax cut and call it done. But okay.
It's not like we have any money sitting around the bank.
Yeah, I mean, like tons. Well, speaking of which, the grocery tax, real quick, they've cut that. For those who don't know, Alabama's sales tax rate is 4%. And then you also have locals that can add on to that. And you'll see a total sales tax on the average of anywhere between 8 and 10 cents on the dollar. 4 cents of that is the state. We're one of only three states in the nation that taxes groceries at the highest possible rate of 4% for us. And that got cut in half today, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And this is really interesting. I saw something about this earlier, but Alabama first imposed a grocery tax in 1939, I think. And we're one of the only states who has never tried to lower it or repeal it since then. So, this passed the Senate today. A little bit of good news and bad news on it. The good news is it could potentially be fully implemented faster than the House version. The House version, it would have taken until 2025 to see the full effects of this. Under the Senate version and the version that's now going to the governor, potentially the full 2% repeal could happen by September 1st of 2024. The caveat to that is that they have to meet certain growth metrics in the Education Trust Fund. The House version set those revenue growth estimates at 2%, and the Senate version bumped that up to 3.5%. So there's a chance that, you know, the first 1% will definitely roll back on September 1st of this year, but unless projected growth for 2025 is projected to be 3.5%, then potentially we could have to wait. We could have to wait a year or two, however long it takes. For that second cut to go. And I was looking back today, and actually I think the projections for next year are about 3.1% growth. So it's a real possibility that second 1 cent coming off could take several years to happen.
Well, okay, once again, God forbid, they should just go ahead and cut a tax. But at least we got something going. I mean, I'll be honest with you, that's still a step forward.
It is a step forward, yeah, and I hope it'll get us to eventually fully repealing it. But, you know, I was actually looking at this morning. It's interesting. If you take the overtime tax bill and the grocery tax bill, it's something like 3.2% of revenues from 2022 revenues. So they certainly had a lot of money to deal with. That's not even counting the $2.8 billion surplus in the Education Trust Fund. So you would have liked to have seen those things go, you know, fully into effect and immediately, but it is a step in the right direction.
One last question on that. Do you know how they categorize groceries, which sounds kind of crazy, but the reality is you have to have a legal definition of what groceries is. And so they were going to use the definition of SNAP or the definition of WIC, both of which are government programs that have differing, you know, definitions. Which one? And I think SNAP is the broader. Which one did they use?
Yeah. That's the good news. They ended up going with the SNAP definition.
Okay.
The WIC definition is pretty limited. It doesn't even include things like fresh meat. So SNAP definition is basically, you know, all grocery items. I think there's a few like hot food items and things that are excluded from that. But it's basically going to be open to anything. And it's estimated to save about $318 million a year once it's fully phased in.
Well, all right. That's something. I'm glad
it
to hear
is
it.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, listen, in a couple minutes here, and if you don't mind hanging on through the break that we're going to have in a few minutes, we've unpacked more stuff than I expected us to do. But let's talk about this Birmingham Southern thing. So one of the bills that has really gotten my ire is not getting a lot of press. Birmingham Southern has, by their own admission, screwed up their own finances. They overspent, and they also miscalculated, and they wound up in a horrible position to the point they think they were going to have to basically shut down the entire college. It's been there over 100 years, and they wanted a bailout. They wanted a $30 million appropriation. They're a private college, and they wanted $30 million of taxpayer money. Well, I'm at least glad they didn't do that. But what they did do was they put together a bill and passed it called the Distressed Universities and Colleges Revolving Loan Program, which that's like saying the bad credit borrower program. The fact they even put the word distressed in the title just bothers me, because it automatically says, yeah, you don't have good credit, but we're going to loan you money anyway. And these are taxpayer dollars. Your thoughts?
No, you're exactly right. And obviously, Birmingham Southern got into a big mess going back, you know, probably 20 years now, making overpayments on Pell Grants and that kind of thing that they had to pay back to the federal government. They did a lot of expansion that they really couldn't afford to do. But no, you're absolutely right. You're basically saying if you're not handling your finances as you should be, you know, don't worry. The state's going to have this loan program as a backstop for you, and we'll come in and help you out. And what's really alarming about the bill is there's just, you know, very few kind of guide rails to ensure that the money will be paid back, that they're, you know, worthy of having the loan. You would think if they're distressed, they're probably inherently not worthy of receiving a loan and being able to pay it back. So, I think it's very concerning. And then just the precedent that it's setting that we're going to bail out private institutions if they get in trouble and if they meet certain, you know, circumstances. It's just a horrible precedent to set. And, you know, also raises the question of, you know, if there's an economic downturn or something and private businesses start to have the same struggles, is the state going to step in and bail them out too? You know, it's really kind of operating against the free market system.
It absolutely sounds like it is. And it sets up the state treasurer as basically a loan officer. Am I right?
No, you're exactly. I mean, the state treasurer has basically full autonomy for this program. They decide who gets the loans. They decide the terms of the loans. You know, basically, the only qualification in there is that the institute has to have sufficient assets to put up as collateral. That's really the only kind of guardrail that I saw in that. So it's going to put government in a real position to pick the winners and losers in this. And as you know, anytime that happens, it's not a good thing. But especially when you're talking about tens of millions of dollars in taxpayer money.
Yeah, and I have to look at it, too, and wonder, all right, basic criteria here. What happens if, say, I don't know, UAB decides it needs a new stadium? Are they gonna come to the loan program and say, we're distressed because we don't have as good a stadium as everybody else in Division I, you know, football, and therefore we need to have a loan? And then you've got all the UAB alumni that are in the legislature going, give it to them. I mean, where does it stop?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And you know, as far as I can tell from reading the bill, again, there's really not very many conditions put on this. There's not really very many exceptions, you know, to when you couldn't apply for a loan. So that's certainly a real possibility. And you also have to remember, you know, the legislature has set up a new reserve fund for the Education Trust Fund. I believe it's around $300 million a year, and they can tap into that anytime they want for basically any purpose, and it's not subject to their you know, budgetary restrictions at all. So between this new loan program and things like that, you're really talking about potential to spend a whole lot of money every year without a lot of controls and a lot of oversight.
And I rarely say this kind of thing, but you're also talking about a whole lot of potential for corruption. So we got to really keep our eyes on that.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, man, listen, can you hang on during a break? I want to come back from this break and talk about some stuff up in D.C. We'll shift from Alabama to the national. Is that good?
Yep, sounds good.
All right, we're with Justin Bogey, Director of Fiscal Policy for the Alabama Policy Institute. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. Hey, listen, by the way, text messages are blowing up. We're going to get to all your text messages right after we finish talking with Justin Bogey from API. But I will say this. In the next half hour, I want to deal with some of y'all's thoughts out there. So start texting in. The number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. I got several questions that have been getting a lot of interest here. How do you feel about year-round school? That was one of them. How do you feel about Biden falling down on the stage? That's one of them. And what are your thoughts on the things that were said earlier about Ukraine and the people there being able to fix things that we would just discard on the battlefield? It's amazing. So all those things, chime in. I'd love to hear your thoughts. 833-687-4448. Back on the line with Justin Bogey. He's a fiscal analyst with the director of fiscal policy for the Alabama Policy Institute. Long history of checking government numbers. Hey, Justin, let me ask you. So let's switch gears and go up to D.C. now. We just had the debt limit deal brokered, and it passed out of the House with about 30 members of the House Republican Party saying no. So break it down a little bit. What's in this thing, and what are your thoughts on it as a conservative policy guy?
Yeah, so basically what's in the final agreement is that the president and Kevin McCarthy agreed to basically freeze discretionary spending for the next couple of years. They put caps in place. Those caps are actually going to run for the next 6 years, but they're only enforceable for the first 2 years, if that makes any sense. So really, beyond the next couple of years, there won't be any controls in place on spending again. But basically what it does is it suspends the debt limit until January 1st of 2025, so for the next 18 months, and it'll get through the next presidential election, basically. But what a suspension of the national debt limit means is that for the next year and a half, the federal government can basically borrow as much money as they want. You know, sometimes they do a debt limit increase, and they raise it by a specific dollar amount, so there's still a cap in place. But as it stands right now, there's no cap in place.
Wow.
And, yeah. So not a good thing, but really, you know, from the House version of the bill that passed had about $4 trillion in cuts included in it, some real changes to Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, those programs that are really driving federal spending. This isn't going to touch any of that. They're estimating about $1.5 trillion in savings over 10 years, but my former colleagues have written about this, and they're saying that the real savings are really next to nothing because there's a bunch of kind of outside deals that have been made just to get this through. So pretty discouraging if you don't like the national debt, if you think the federal government spends too much, and it's really, you know, just kind of delaying action again for another 18 months without any real changes.
So kind of more of the same is what you're saying.
More of the same. Yep.
Yeah, that's a crying shame. I mean, on the one hand, I will say this. Kudos to McCarthy for getting a belligerent Democrat president who said he was not going to negotiate on a thing to have to negotiate. So there's that. You know, the power shift became apparent with the new majority. But at the same time, I just don't feel like we got. And I tell you where it's really going to have to change, Justin, and I hate that we're out of time, but where it's going to really have to change is a conservative president with a Republican majority in both the House and the Senate. That's the only way we'll curb some of this stuff.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And you know, I don't think anyone wanted to default on the debt. That certainly wouldn't have been a good thing for the country or for Alabamians. And the president did end up giving a little bit, which is progress. But ultimately, you know, where this started with Republicans and where it ended up, it's you know, not a great position to be in if you really want to change the trajectory of the federal government. But I think you're exactly right. If they could get a really solid conservative in the White House and Congress, then maybe something could happen.
All right, brother. Justin Bogey, Alabama Policy Institute. We appreciate your insights as always, man. And if you see any more on some of these bills coming up in the last days of the legislative session, you let us know.
I will. Thanks so much,
folks. All right, take care. All right, folks, listen, get those text lines going. 833-687-4448. Biden falling on the stage today at the Air Force Academy. How do you feel about year-round school? And what are your thoughts about the fact that Ukraine can apparently fix anything on the battlefield? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.